Blog Talk Radio.
We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch where it takes us. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our response is amazing. All bases covered, yeah. Yeah, you know you love it. Our thoughts, they be off of the dome. First to the second, the topics, they change like the weather. Then you know we bringing it home. We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch how we shine. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our responses be prime. All bases covered, woo. Yeah, you know you love it. No limits to where we can go. So just grab a seat. Oh no, this ain't MLB, but you know it's time for the show. All bases covered, my brothers. Yeah, you know you love.
Welcome back to another edition of the All Bases Covered podcast, sponsored by Collars and Company. If you're looking for a new style of dress shirts where the collar never wilts and it can look sharp under a suit or a sweater, check out Collars and Company. Make sure to get orders in this weekend as they are running a special 25% off deal. Sam, what's going on, man? I see. Oh, Josh is actually calling in. He said he wasn't going to be on the show like a little bitch boy, but he's actually calling in. I'm shocked.
His vagina hurts. His vagina hurts.
I guess it stopped hurting. I guess it stopped hurting. Josh, did you get some Vagisil put on? Is that why you're calling in now? You are good to go?
No, your mom gave me some good vitamin C.
Wow.
Hey-o!
Hey-o. What a dick.
Yeah, what now,
anyway,
bitch?
Oh, Josh was down in Duval for
Duval
game, seeing the Bengals upset the Jaguars. And his brother got engaged, too, while he was down there. So some big happenings over the weekend in Jacksonville, man.
Yeah, did you guys like the costumes, too?
Yeah, the BWO.
The BWO, baby. The Bengals Ward Order.
Well, I'm glad, Josh, that you dialed in because we're kicking off the show with college football and the college football playoffs. And I know there's been a lot of back and forth. There's been a lot of hand-wringing. I have my viewpoints on it, but I'm going to ask you both, Sam and Josh, right now. Did the college football committee get it right with the teams they selected?
No.
Interesting.
I'm with Sam on that. I'm going to say no, too.
Okay.
Just for the fact that how can you tell a college to win every single game, they do it, and then tell them at the end of the year, sorry, you're still not good enough to make it. Even though you went undefeated, you're still not the best. I understand.
So,
and the only reason why they said it was because you have a backup QB. That's their reasoning. So it shows that the college playoff, there's a big SEC bias, and they had to put the SEC in. And I do believe a few weeks ago, I did call it,
yeah.
Right? I had this feeling that this was going to happen.
Let me ask
and,
you,
and
though.
Let's be honest, the ACC is like the bastard child, right, of the conferences, almost. You know,
well,
nothing football-wise, nothing too huge, right?
Here's
well, I think they said
touch.
With the SECs, what, 6-9 against teams outside their conference? Should tell you something.
Yeah.
The SEC is not as strong.
Well,
and then you also
right.
got to look at Alabama was 1 second away from getting beat by Auburn, which is not a very good team.
It's a rivalry game. But, all right. Real quick, let me play devil's advocate real quick, and let me ask you a couple questions. Now, the playoff committee, boys, is tasked with choosing the four best teams, regardless of whatever. It's tasked with picking the four best teams in the nation. Is Florida State, right now, with their third-string quarterback, one of the four best teams in the country? If Florida State were up against Bama, Washington, Michigan, Texas, would they be favored in any of those games?
All I got to say.
Not all I got to say.
2014
showed you. 2014 showed you. A third string QB.
I'm going to counter your argument about Ohio State with the fact that Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0.
Okay, but they weren't favored against Alabama. They were never going to be favored against Alabama.
They jumped a
one-loss Baylor and TCU team just because they didn't have a conference championship. You set the precedent before. You've already set that precedent. It doesn't matter. Now you went ahead and screwed Florida State. I get your point. Florida State is not one of the top four teams. I agree with that. If that's the case, then Ohio State should probably be up there too because they lost a rival game in Michigan by 3 points. And they were driving to go either tie that game or take the lead. Correct?
Yes.
Alabama needed a Hail Mary to beat their rival.
By the way, Florida State against Louisville. Louisville, who was coming off a loss to Kentucky, who was middle of the pack for the SEC. Let me point out some numbers here for Florida State. Florida State had 55 yards passing against Louisville, where they completed 8 of 21 passes for 2.6 yards per pass. They didn't have any turnovers. Their defense was able to dominate Louisville's offense. Florida State's offense mustered 12 first downs on the day, and they were 2 of 16 on third down. They had 219 total yards on the day. They scored 16
points. You go back to a lot of these Alabama teams. Go back to a lot of these Alabama teams. Their offense didn't score. They won by their defense.
But
none of these numbers matter.
They do matter.
I have to agree with one thing, Josh. I have to agree with one thing. Like, even if the defense is, amazing, right, it still pushes the needle further than having an inept offense.
Exactly. Defenses do matter. They could have stopped Alabama struggled against a good defense.
But at the same time, Florida State, let's say Florida State got that number four seed. Let's say they got the number four seed and they're playing Michigan to start. That game's not going to be close. Now, I get it. It sucks that Jordan Travis got hurt. I get it. And I get the Cardale Jones thing. But if Florida State went out there and beat Louisville 38-3, we might not be having this discussion. But the fact is, Alabama played the 15th ranked schedule, 15th strongest schedule in the country. Florida State played the 57th rated schedule.
Go look at Alabama, the eye test. They did not play well at all.
They did down the stretch.
They weren't that good.
They did down the stretch. Other than that Auburn game, which is a blood rivalry.
Go back. UCF, they didn't play good. They almost got beat by UCF.
Yeah, I said recently. Alabama, if you go back after the USF game, they beat Ole Miss 24-10. They beat Tennessee, who was ranked 34-20. They beat LSU 42-28. They beat the same Kentucky team on the road that Florida State struggled to put up points, or I'm sorry, that Louisville couldn't keep, and they beat Kentucky 49-21. Then they went out and beat Georgia 27-24 in a game where Georgia had not lost in 40 games. They were on a 40 game winning streak.
And that Georgia team also
306 yards of offense against Georgia.
And that Georgia team also didn't play anybody until the end of the year.
Yeah, but that Georgia team has a good defense as well.
Yeah, Georgia team has a good defense, you're right. And no,
but they didn't play
correct.
Anybody to actually know that.
They did. They played Missouri,
they didn't play anybody.
Ole Miss, and Tennessee all in a row. Missouri is currently 12th in the country, and they beat them 30-21. They beat Ole Miss, who was number 9 at the time, 52-17. I can't say they didn't play anybody.
They played three people. You look at their out-of-conference schedule, they didn't play anybody.
Yeah.
That's why there was such a big thing.
Who did Michigan play other than Ohio State and
nobody.
Penn State? Who did Michigan play?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Neither one played anybody. None of them.
And
Michigan,
Florida,
they said Georgia and Michigan were the two teams that no one really knew who they were because they didn't play anybody.
And Florida State also didn't play anybody other than LSU in the opener. That's it.
I agree with that. But they did exactly what they were told to do, and that was to win every single game, go undefeated, and you should be in. And they got shaft.
Well,
go back.
So
where the money was, you got to follow the money too. Las Vegas, all the odds before on Saturday night had Florida State making it, and then Alabama was like a plus 150. The very next day, Florida State and Alabama were the same odds. That's why Vegas is the one who wanted these matchups. It wasn't these college football. It's the money. That's
no,
all it's about.
I also think it's not just Vegas. I don't think it's Vegas. I also think that, you know, the certain
TV
matchups that will draw more viewers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. That's why they're like, you know what, fuck it. Let's put another screw job to Michigan. Let's just fuck with them. Let's get them a harder game to play. And that was with Alabama being the number 4.
I don't know, man. All I'm saying is
follow the money. That's all I'm saying. That's all it's about is the money.
I think Alabama has a case that they are better than Florida State right now. And I'm telling you, as much as
I agree
sucks,
with you, but
Jordan Travis is playing right now, we're not having this discussion. The SEC is not.
Why not
in. Then?
But why not? We should be having that discussion then.
In fact, I'll be honest with you. The team that's probably on the outside looking in, if Jordan Travis is there, it's not going to be Alabama. It's going to be Texas, which would come with
a whole other set
of controversy.
Exactly.
But
you couldn't put.
Let me ask you a question, though, Josh. As much as this hatred of Alabama and SEC, and I get it, and Sam, I'm going to ask you this question, too. If you have a coach, Nick Saban, who's won 6 national titles at a school in 14 years, and Alabama has pretty much been in the college football playoff, I believe, like every year. Every year except for last year. Why not give them the benefit of the doubt that they are going to be able to make some noise in the tournament, in the playoffs? If the playoff is truly about taking the 4 best teams, then I get it. Florida State fans rightfully upset they went undefeated. But this is the problem with having a 4-team playoff.
You set the precedent. The problem is you set the precedent before that. You told these teams, go undefeated and you're probably in. Or if you're a conference champion with 0 loss, you're probably in. They barely put anybody with one win in.
I'm gonna interrupt for 1 second, Josh, and ask you this. You know, what if 10 teams go undefeated? I'm just giving you a scenario.
They said Power 5 conferences. Power 5 conferences. If you win all your games, you're going to be in. You can't have. That's what the scenario was. If you had all 5
okay.
Power conferences in that all went undefeated, then you got something to say. But 3 of the 5 went undefeated. Right? Enough said. You had 3 of them, 3 out of 5 go undefeated, and then you had 1 champion beat the other champion head-to-head. That should be your top 4, according to what you told everybody the stipulation should be to make it into the playoff.
Okay. Well, I personally somewhat disagree. I like Florida State. I believe that without Jordan Travis, they are not one of the 4 best teams.
I agree with you. I don't think they are I don't think they are a top four team. I agree 100% with you with that. I'm just saying they set the precedent from before that you go undefeated, you should be in. That's what they told people.
No,
and you went
that,
back on that.
Go undefeated and you're in. There's a lot. There's a lot about the voting process and the protocol that goes into it.
I don't think it's that easy, Josh.
Yeah, but then here's the problem is all these teams would have started scheduling their stuff to where they didn't play anybody. Like Ohio State has one of the weakest schedules next year. And if they win, I don't think they should be in just because they play one of the weakest schedules. Like you look at Michigan. Michigan's got the fucking one of the toughest schedules ever I've seen.
Here is straight from the college football playoff. Here are the principles of selection. The selection committee will select the teams, and this was drafted in 2014, the first year of the playoff. The selection committee will select the teams using a process that distinguishes among otherwise comparable teams by considering conference championships won, strength of schedule, head-to-head competition, comparative outcomes of common opponents, and other relevant factors such as unavailability of key players and coaches that may affect a team's performance. So, based on those principles that were written in 2014 when this was drafted, conference championships won, Alabama has, so does Florida State. Strength of schedule, Alabama beats Florida State handedly. Head-to-head competition, we don't know. Florida State and Alabama did not play each other in the regular season. Comparative.
Okay. So stop right there. They said they can change their mind if a certain player is out, correct? That was
the third one?
It didn't say
they could change their mind. It just says other relevant factors are considered, such as unavailability of key players.
So if that's the case, they should have never put Ohio State into the very first one because
that's
they were
true.
Down to the third
that's
string quarterback.
But they won 59-0, Josh. That's what you're forgetting.
I understand that.
But also, Josh, one more thing. Ohio State's third string QB is probably still better than the second string QB at Florida State.
No, but they still, if that's
still
the case, then
marketable.
That TCU
it's
or Baylor team,
marketable.
That it was between that TCU and Baylor team. And that, what, Baylor beat TCU to win the championship, the Big 12?
But they didn't have a conference championship game. Yeah, the Big 12 didn't have a conference championship game.
That's the only reason
why
Ohio State made it was because they played the conference championship game.
No, that's not actually that. I lied.
No, they flat out said.
Wait, pause. The Big 12 did have a conference championship game that
year. Not that year, they didn't.
Okay.
They didn't have it that
year. TCU, Baylor lost. Baylor was 11-1. They lost their bowl game to Michigan State. Anyways, Baylor.
11-1 and TCU was 11-1.
I know, but I'm looking at their strength of schedule that year. I'm looking at it comparatively to Ohio State. Ohio State, during the season, they lost to Virginia Tech, but they beat Michigan State, they beat Minnesota, who was ranked, they beat Michigan, they beat Wisconsin, and they won at Penn State in double overtime. I would say that I'm looking at the schedules. And here's the other thing, Josh. If Ohio State if they don't win that game 59-0, if they beat number 13 Wisconsin 20-10, they're not getting in over TCU or Baylor or one of those schools. I just don't think they are.
But what I'm saying is you set the precedent by allowing that to happen. Therefore, you can't consider
Josh, you shouldn't be able to consider a player
if they got injured or not. And you got to remember, that kid was only elevated, what, 2 or 3 days before that game? So he had no practice because their backup got hurt in practice and he couldn't play? But he'd be back before the bowl game. And they would be on their second string.
He was still considered a good prospect, no? Am I wrong in saying
who?
That?
Who?
Your third string that year. Was he not considered a decent prospect?
No, not at all.
Cardale Jones got drafted.
Exactly my point.
He wasn't good. He was not that good. He ended up losing a starting job the very next year. What, four games into
that,
it, he lost a starting job back?
That's after the fact, though, Josh. Going in as a third-string quarterback,
if you have
a little bit of clout, that unavailability factor goes away.
No one knew who he was. I didn't know who he was. I've never seen the kid play. That's how often he didn't play.
Here's the other thing, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say this, and then I want to ask one more question, and we're going to go on to other things. What's the bigger name brand, Josh? Ohio State or TCU and Baylor? TCU was a Mountain West team until 2012.
Didn't I say follow the money?
Okay, you
That's exactly
the money
what the college football playoff is. It's the money. It's not about what team goes undefeated. It's about let's see who generates more money. The more money would have been having Michigan versus Alabama. That's the reason why it happened. It had nothing to do with the team.
But also, Florida State with Jordan Travis would have generated plenty of money. But nobody wants to tune into a game where possibly Michigan is going to blow the doors off of Florida State and their third-string quarterback. So,
well, that's what they all thought last year against TCU. Michigan was going to just absolutely dominate, and then TCU came out and beat them.
All right.
Right? I'm just saying. Anybody can get beat.
Anybody can get beat. All right.
Ohio State wasn't a threat against Georgia, right? Ohio State should have beat Georgia. If Marvin Harrison doesn't go out, Ohio State wins.
I thought Ohio State was definitely a threat to Georgia, but that's just me because they had C.J. Stroud and Marvin Harrison and everybody else. But, all right, speaking of Ohio State, Kyle McCord is in the transfer portal after Ryan Day would commit to him as the starter for next season. Ohio State's been dipping their toes in the transfer portal. I know that they've met with Cam Ward, the quarterback from Washington State, who's highly athletic. I know they've met with some other of the transfer portal quarterbacks. If you're Ryan Day, is this a mistake, Josh, to not commit to a kid that went 11-1 in his first season starting?
I don't think he's wrong because Kyle McCord, I said that halfway through the year. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy said the opposite. I said Kyle McCord hasn't looked that good. And the way he's playing, I don't think he would be able to beat Michigan. And sure enough, that's the case. He made a bonehead throw that pretty much probably cost him the game when he threw it. I think they were in the 20-yard line. He threw that pick, gave Michigan first and almost goal.
Does that deserve to not be more or less fighting for a starting job the following year when you go 11-1 first year?
Yeah, but you got it. It's college football. You're not guaranteed
anything.
Somebody is better coming in. If somebody they got that Air Nolan coming in, and we all seen his fucking arm. Everybody in Columbus was excited about that kid.
Yeah.
He comes in January. He learns Ryan Day's. If he's got a better arm, why wouldn't you give him the ball? If he's got the better arm, the more talent, why wouldn't you go with that kid? Or if you do bring somebody in, who cares?
Yeah, but he's a true freshman.
Win the fucking job.
I would say that's his job to lose next year. That's what I would say.
And here's the thing. You do realize that job, he didn't get the starting nod until week three of the year, right? He was never announced the starter until week three. So that means these other quarterbacks on the squad was pushing McCord. So what happens if you have an Air Nolan in and he looks better, he looks faster than Kyle McCord? you're going to give him the starting nod over Kyle McCord. I'm sorry. He didn't win the job. He doesn't have that fire. I didn't see that fire. I didn't see the will to win in Kyle McCord. I just didn't.
Wait a second. The will to win? Are you fucking crazy? Did you not watch the last drive against Notre Dame?
Yeah, and they got lucky. I didn't see the same fire in him.
Fucking close, dude. I don't know about desire to win. I don't know how much I'm buying that shit.
I didn't see the fire. I didn't see the desire to win. I didn't see the same type of guy like a CJ Stroud was. I didn't see that same guy as a Justin Fields. I just didn't.
So you know what, Mike, Josh has the case of the Patriots, right? Well, even when you have a great player, you're not satisfied. You have a great history. You have great players playing for you. It's just not good enough.
Louis, let me ask you this question then.
Hey,
Kyle McCord transfers.
Before you ask, Josh. Mike, would you take McCord in Nebraska right now as your quarterback?
That's what Josh is asking. And to your point, yes, I would. I would take him, and he has met with Nebraska officials already. They were up in Columbus meeting him yesterday.
Well, and you know the reason why. It wasn't Kyle McCord's decision. You know that, right? That was Daddy McCord.
Might be.
It wasn't Kyle.
You know,
it was his dad, and his dad has fucked him. This is the second time his dad has fucked.
Yeah.
The kid
I know. Comparatively to what we've seen from Ohio State quarterbacks Stroud and Fields the last couple of years, McCord did not look like that. And I will give you that. But the fact is, you have to have some kind of competent QB play, no matter how good your team is, to go 11-1. Nebraska was 5-7. They were awful on offense. They had a top 25 defense that ranked top 10 against the run and top 30 against the pass. But their offense turned
Let me take one player out of that offense and you tell me if they're an 11-win team. You take Marvin Harrison Jr. out of that offense. Do they win 11 games?
Yeah, probably not. He's a Heisman finalist, so yeah.
He's a Heisman finalist.
You take Marvin Harrison out of that offense. You take him out. They lose against Notre Dame. They probably lose a couple other games, and they're definitely going to lose against Michigan.
Okay, fine. If you take Michael Penix off Washington, are they undefeated? That's a stupid fucking theory. It's a stupid theory.
Probably. I don't think Washington would be undefeated if they didn't have Michael Penix.
Exactly. So you're talking about a Heisman finalist.
I don't have enough faith in Kyle McCord to lead that team to a playoff to win in the big games. I just don't.
All right, guys, we gotta move on to some other things. Let's see here. Let me see if I can get this pulled up here quickly.
And I watch a lot more Ohio State games than you do, bud. I don't sit there and watch a shitty-ass team from fucking the cornfields.
Oh, my God. Here we fucking go. Here we go.
Don't be mad, bro.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. All right, hold on. This doesn't fucking save for some reason anytime. So I'm going to get I'm getting the wheel of death going. So, Sam, you're the only one that has to spin it after the close loss last week. Let's see. We already did the Kyrie Irving, so let's see, the Hurricane. I got it. Josh, we got to get together soon so I can pay off these debts. Let's see.
Yeah, we do.
Crisscross. turkey leg.
Louie, are you getting on the thing so I can, we can watch your bitch ass so you don't cheat anybody?
Yes, yes, you fuckwad. We said Sam still owes us a kitty manicure and a Cam Newton, which is doing a different TD dance before every segment.
I got the slime.
I paid up on my pirate one though.
You did. You did. All right. All right, here we go. So I'm logging in now.
I don't
so
see you. I don't see you. I don't see
I'm
you.
In.
I don't see you. You're
I'm
not
coming
on.
In. Relax, guy. I'm coming.
No, I'm not going to relax.
He's not coming. He never comes.
Yeah, yeah. He receives it.
Wow. Okay. You guys, no, you're going to cost us our sponsor with this shit. You're going to cost us our sponsor.
Who is? Me?
You guys, you fucking bastards. hold on. I'm getting the shit.
Yeah, I'm looking at the shirt there, Josh. Yo.
What's that?
I said I'm liking the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Bengals.
Hootay, baby.
Working. Safari. Is it working? Do you guys see my screen yet or no?
I only see your ugly ass.
Wow. Okay, thanks, man. It's not fucking going.
Every time him and Tommy get together, he says the same thing. I don't know why it's not working. This thing is not working.
Wow. What a dick. Okay, hold on. Log in. I'm fucking getting there.
You notice how he changes. Oh, I don't want to say that now.
Yeah. He doesn't want to cost himself the sponsor, man.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Using headphones. Oh, fuck. The wheel of names is fucked, dude. I can't do it.
That means I get an honorary golden helmet this week.
No.
Yeah.
No. All right. I'm going to go in. I'm going to try this to fucking work again. It's not. Well, it won't let me go into Safari for some reason. So when I try to share the screen and I try to share the window, it won't read. It won't let me do Safari. So I'm just going to have to do it this way, guys. Hold on. Sorry, this is taking long for our audience, but this shit isn't working the way it's supposed to, so. All right, here we go. This should work now. All right, share screen.
Trying a different browser?
All right, got it. All right, you guys all see it now. Yes.
Yep.
We're running out of punishment. Sam, you get yes, yes.
Wait,
you
get the dog face gremlin.
The dog face gremlin. You have to do a photo shoot, Sam, dressed as Rick Steiner.
Oh my God! All right, well, I'm gonna need your help paying that one off. Probably Christmas.
Okay.
When I see you during Christmas.
That works. We got to get you a singlet and like headgear, whatever Rick Steiner dresses.
And a doll collar.
Yeah.
Like a doll collar. Yo, you know what? We probably need to hit up like Hot Topic or something.
There we go.
Good.
All right, let's draw our helmets and see what's going on. I will go first this time around. All right, are you all thing here. Make sure I don't want to hear any of your fucking bullshit. Ooh, the Atlanta Falcons. Let's see. Who are the Falcons playing?
This is you? This is you, Mike?
Yeah, this is me. This is me.
All right.
Falcons got the, where are they? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 1.5-point favorites at home. Fuck. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to run with the Falcons. I'm going to run with the Falcons. I'll keep it.
All right,
who wants to go next?
I'll go.
All right. Ooh, the Baltimore Ravens, Josh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sam, I mean,
oh, they got Sam. Tough game, though.
They got to play the Ravens are against who? The Los Angeles Rams, they're 7-point favorites. Do you want to keep it or put it back?
Oh, that's a keep.
That's a keep. That's a keep. That's a keep. That's
all right.
Keep.
All right, Josh, you're next. And you draw the Seahawks. Seahawks are playing the 49ers, and they're 10.5-point dogs. Do you want to keep it or put it back?
Put it back.
Okay.
Yeah, 49ers are looking hot now.
Stuck with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's go!
The Steelers are playing on Thursday against the New England Patriots.
They're playing the Patriots!
And they are 6-point favorites.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah.
By the way, this Patriots team just held the Chargers team to like 6 points.
Yeah,
And they also did that, and then Pittsburgh's coming in with a fucking backup quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes.
And a backup running back in Jalen Warren.
Yeah, but Jalen Warren's
looks
better
like Najee's not going to be playing.
Jalen Warren's better than Najee. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways,
right.
Najee just had he just ran back a couple of really good games, so I don't know about that.
All right, well, I'm leaving Riverside now that we've spun the wheel and we've got our helmets. All right, guys. So let's go to some NFL. Sam, I want to talk to you while we I want to talk about the fact that Zach Wilson doesn't want to go be the starter again. What the fuck?
No, I don't think that's the case. You know, I digged a little bit deeper into the whole scenario and, you know, took a you know, gander at what was happening. It's the media that kind of moved this around. They asked Saleh, you know, that pretty much the same question. He's just like, he wouldn't be here if that was the case, you know. Aaron Rodgers has come to his support saying that he hasn't had the right coaching his first 3 years, and it's not his desire to not play. That's definitely not it. He wants to win. So I don't – again, I believe this is New York media. The New York media just – it's terrible. It's the worst. Every sports team in the New York, New Jersey area gets hit with these rumors just of anything and everything under the sun. And out of like 50 rumors, maybe two of them might be right, but they're still all out there.
Okay. So you don't think there's any validity to that at all, Zach Wilson not wanting to
No,
play?
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe it at all. In fact,
okay.
What I think is that he's kind of like, hey, listen, at least I won games for us playing quarterback.
Yeah.
These other guys, you just saw what Boyle did, you know?
Do you still think – I know we've covered this, and I know you wanted to see for sure what you had in Zach Wilson, but don't you think it still would have been prudent to go sign somebody just in case Zach Wilson wasn't who you thought he was?
See, the only thing is that our O-line is a mess, right? I think our OC, like I said before, I think Hackett is a bad OC, but he happens to be a good OC for just Aaron Rodgers. The only quarterback that can make Hackett look good is Aaron Rodgers, right? So, you know, I think we have a bad OC. We have a bad O-line. You know, it's coming in and grabbing a Jameis Winston or picking up a high-quality backup somewhere, Josh Dobbs or whatever else you want to call it, right? I don't think you would see that much of a difference because unless you're really, really good, that O-line is going to get you hit all the time. You saw Zach Wilson got mauled this year, and he still played, man. He played through all that.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, the Bengals won with Jake Browning, who looked phenomenal, right? Threw for 350 yards passing, had 2 touchdowns total, looked great. The Bengals have 5 games remaining. They sit at 6-6. Can they make the playoffs? Now, hypothetically, they would have to go 4-1 in their final 5 games to make the playoffs. That would put them at 10-7. Can they make the playoffs with Jake Browning?
Well, not necessarily. You got to remember, they're playing the Colts that are right there too with a backup quarterback. They're playing Steelers with a backup quarterback now. And they also have the Browns with a backup quarterback. So there's a shot because all three of them are ahead of them in that hunt too. So if they can beat them, they have a really good shot then.
Which is why I said they got to go 4-1, Josh. They got to beat Indianapolis. They got to beat Minnesota. Then they got to beat Pittsburgh and Cleveland. They can lose to Kansas City, but they have to beat Indianapolis, and that puts them at 10-7, which I think is good enough to make the playoffs. It's probably like a 6 seed.
That's hilarious that all their teams are trotting out backup QBs.
Yeah.
Except for Kansas City. And Kansas City might, if they already got
Except Kansas City, right.
And if Kansas City doesn't have that one seed, if Baltimore keeps winning or Miami keeps winning, Kansas City might just say, hey, we're going to start resting players.
No, yeah, but maybe not the second week. Maybe the last game of the season, but not the second to last. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. They're still in the hunt for, at that point for, like, probably home field advantage or something. I don't know, right?
It'd be, like, the second or third seed. But they do got – so the nice thing is they got – Miami and Baltimore, they still got to play each other, so that's going to be take one team down to four losses.
Yeah.
So, and that will tie them. But I told you, I don't think anybody fears Kansas City anymore. They do not look like a very good team.
Okay. But Miami hasn't beaten anybody either. Miami's lost to Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Kansas City. They haven't beat a single playoff team this year.
Yeah, but,
unless Denver somehow sneaks in at the end, then that would count. But Denver was playing like complete dog shit when Miami beat them. And so
it's a different Denver team now than that one.
Yeah, exactly. And Miami got Tennessee and the Jets, but their last three games are against Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo. So it will be very telling if they get to 11 wins and then they lose their last three games against Baltimore and Buffalo.
They got to steal two of those three if they want that seed, right? The right seed?
Yeah.
They got to win two of those three.
If they want people to take them seriously as an actual contender, they got to be able to go out and beat quality teams. That's one thing. That if you look at Cincinnati's schedule, yeah, they've lost games here and there, but Cincinnati has still beat quality teams. They got wins over Seattle, San Francisco, Buffalo, and now Jacksonville, who was another, you know, and Trevor Lawrence basically played that entire game until the final 2.5 minutes and then the overtime period. So, you know, it's...
There's something going on with that Jags team.
Yeah.
The Bengals pretty much dominate that game. Being there live, they pretty much dominated that game. And you take away that Tyler Boyd stupid fucking interception.
Yeah.
If we go down and we get a field goal, what happens then? Does it even go into OT?
Yeah. You're right. Were you guys surprised at all about how badly the Eagles got dominated by the 49ers?
No, I actually wasn't.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think we all pretty much said last year, if Brock Purdy doesn't go out, I don't think the Eagles win that game. I think it would have been the 49ers.
Okay.
I think the 49ers, they just have a better team. And with that addition of Chase Young on that defensive line, they're that much better. They got that great rotation they could do now.
I agree. I mean, I still think the Eagles, there's two things that I believe are different about the Eagles this year than last year. And I thought the Eagles were still a great team last year. The Eagles' secondary isn't playing as good as it did last year. And their offensive line has not been protecting Jalen Hurts as good as it did last year. The offensive line, if you look at the Eagles' offensive line, it's kind of old.
I think they lost their identity when the offensive coordinator left. Not that now they don't know what to do. Are they a running team? Are they a passing team?
But they got time to figure it out. It's only their second loss. It's only their second loss, so it's not like it's time to panic.
Well, I mean, they got a big game on Sunday, though.
They're losing to underqualified teams either.
Yeah.
Besides the Jets, you could discount that one, really, I would say. That was a weird game script all around.
And everybody plays bad games here and there. Everybody plays bad games. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to worry about, are they going to even make the second seed? They got a big game this week against Dallas. That would be telling. If the Eagles go out and lose that game, then, yeah, I think they're going to be done. I think 49ers win that division and go to the Super Bowl this year.
Or win the conference, you mean?
Yep.
Okay. We only got about 4 minutes left. I want to end with some NBA talk. Sam, I want to ask you first, and Josh, feel free to chime in. There's two things on the NBA I want to get to, but the first is, who do you think, Josh or Sam? Sorry, is the early leader for MVP? Because I have my guy. I have my person who I believe should be the MVP, but you might differ on your opinion. So I'm curious, Sam, who you think is the early front runner?
Okay, so I still think you have your usual suspects, Joker and Embiid. Both are playing very well. One's leading, Luka also falls in that mix as well, right? I think the dark horse for me, I would like to see Tyrese Halliburton win the MVP this year.
Damn! Same wavelength, brother. Fucking wavelength.
He's playing out of this world.
Dude, 30 points a game, nearly 10 assists, shooting 55%. That was against that's his averages against Milwaukee. On the regular season, he's shooting 45% from three, averaging 27 points per game and 12 assists. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think I called it because, both my boys are Patriots fans, so they're like, Tyrese. We made a really good trade. They kept saying last year that when we traded Sabonis for Halliburton, we actually won that trade, And I was like, yeah, I totally see the raw talent. The USA team exposure got him, really elevated to the next level. He believes now he's a star. He's starting to play like one as well.
Yeah.
Because, he's playing with a bunch of other stars on that USA team. And, they didn't, blow it out, but they had a lot of young talent on that team. So it was their first time getting together, playing together. So but he was top dog on that team along with Anthony Edwards. And you see both these guys have leapt out of the gym this year.
And both their teams are playing really well. The Timberwolves, I believe, are 15-4 or so.
I also think it's that off season conditioning. They got they had extra conditioning, proper conditioning in, and they were ready to run when the season started.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. I agree with you. All right, so Sam, I'm going to wrap it up. Josh, do you have anything on the NBA MVP race?
I don't want to leave you out. NBA anymore.
All right. On the last thing I want to cover, Josh, or just Sam, sorry, I keep doing that. Whose start is more surprising, Orlando at 14-6 or Minnesota at 15-4?
I would say Orlando. I still thought Orlando was a little bit more of a project team where they would take another couple of years to finally gel together and get it together. But the Wagner brothers are playing great. Paolo's playing amazing. They're coached well. I mean, their coach is a good coach, right? So, it's a little surprising, but, okay, they're good. They're a young team, young and hot.
They are young. And listen to this, dude. All these picks. Plus, you just said Paolo, but they also got Cole Anthony, who wasn't that long ago. Anthony Black, who was their first rounder this year, who's a 6'7 combo do-it-all guard in the vein of Josh Giddey. Wendell Carter, Markel Fultz, Jet Howard, Jonathan Isaac, Jalen Suggs, and then the Wagner brothers. I mean, hypothetically, this Magic team's about 9 or 10 deep.
Yep, they could go down to maybe even 11 if you have to. Like, for some reason, for, you know, if you have a major injury, you have to have 11 move up two slots to 9. They could do that, too.
Yeah. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players averaging in double figures, and Wendell Carter is not far behind at 9.5.
They have a lot of first-round draft picks on their team. So
they
Wendell
do.
Carter was
Markel,
a first-rounder. Fultz
Markel
was a first-rounder.
Yep. Suggs.
Yep,
Jonathan
Suggs, and then obviously Paolo, you know.
Yeah. So Paolo's looked good. He's the second-leading scorer. I am also surprised with the Magic. We'll see. It's a nice story. Let's see if they can keep it up all season. I'm kind of curious once we get to the end of January where they'll be sitting at. I don't think they'll maintain the number three seed all year.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I do expect them to fall somewhere maybe between 6 and 9. So I think they'll definitely make the play-in tournament. But there is a chance, there is that chance that they fall, you know, at the 5 or 6 seed and they completely can skip the play-in tournament. So the East.
So remember how when LeBron was on the Cavs for the longest time, your 4th and 5th seed were like, you know, the Nets, an old Nets team or like something like that along those lines. Like I see the Magic kind of taking that mid seed ranking. But the problem is, you know, I see a lot of comparison between this Magic team and that OKC team that was really young that just started to make noise a couple years ago. They hit that rookie wall with all that young talent, and they had terrible stretches of months. You know, they were in like 3-13, and you know, they did not look good at all. So young teams do it's not sustainable for the whole season. I agree with you. They can't sit at I don't believe they're going to sit at 3 for the rest of the season, but they could be future 4 or 5, you know, like in a couple of years, man. They look good.
I mean, hell, if you look at it, Sam, the Bucks are old, and there's no guarantee in Philly that Embiid is going to stay there. So, really, in the next 3 to 4 years, Orlando could be a top 3 team. If you look at...
I also see Toronto moving up a bit. They have a really good development program, Toronto does.
Yeah.
They develop their players very well, just like the Pacers do. So I think that, you know, that, the Magic, you know, the Raptors, these are the teams that are going to be the up-and-comers in the coming years.
I'll tell you what, the other team that kind of reminds me of the Magic, they have a better head start and they have more draft picks, but that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder, with Dort and Giddey and Shai and Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Joe and Trey Manning and Cason Wallace and Jalen Williams, they got a lot of guys. They're really deep. And they got a fuck ton of lottery picks and a lot of draft capital that if they decide, hey, I want to make a splash for a superstar, they got the treasure trove to dip into to pair with a Shai and a Chet Holmgren and company.
Like go get Zion or something, right?
Yeah. Yep.
No, so one more thing I was going to point out, though, that's not necessarily a good thing for OKC, right? Remember, they're a small market team. So, like, all those draft picks, at some point, they're going to have to pay these young guys that are going to be playing out of their minds, right? It's almost the same scenario where they had KD, Harden, and Westbrook, and Ibaka. You know, four got high-quality guys playing at the highest level. And guess what? You're going to have to cut some star or trade them or do something, you know?
But at the same time, if you have to do that, you still got all these picks. The Thunder have, for 2024 alone, they own the Clippers' first-round pick. They own Houston's pick, which is only protected 1 through 4. They own Utah's pick, which is protected 1 through 10. That probably won't convey this year because I think Utah's going to be picking in the top 10. Then in 2025, they have their own first-round pick. They have the best pick between Houston and the Clippers. They have Miami's pick, which is lottery protected. They have Philadelphia's pick, which is only protected 1 through 6 in the first round. Miami, Philadelphia, and their own pick in 2025, Oklahoma City is going to have 3 first-round picks next year, or in 2025.
They can really then, replenish stars at that point.
So even if they can't sign, like, a Jalen Williams, or they can't re-sign a Josh Giddey, they can – and you know Sam Presti has a great track record of drafting.
And you can always use them picks to move up in the draft too.
Exactly, that's another good point. They can try to flip positioning. So,
I think they should make a move for a young star, like now, like a De'Aaron Fox, or like a Zion Williams. I'll even take like a Brandon Ingram at this point. You know.
Yeah. Or
just to push it forward.
Or do you try to go make a move for a Karl Anthony Towns?
Or you do something like that, yeah. Guess what? Like I completely agree. That's a good move. I think that's a good move.
Or one last scenario. If Dallas struggles, right, and let's say they flame out early and Luka's unhappy, do you push all your chips in and try to go get Luka?
I would push all my chips in to get Luka if I was any team.
Well, I'm just saying, they got the capital. They got players. Like,
I don't know if Luka wants to go to Oklahoma City, man. That's the thing. I think Luka still wants to stay in a larger market.
I know, but he has talked about going to Denver and getting to play with Jokic. So, I mean, here's the thing. Let's say Dallas was like, if Luka, even though he's got 4 years left on his deal, we've seen players with 3 years left on their deal. Request for aid. Let's say Dallas stumbles this year. Kyrie Irving's not working out. Let's say Dallas gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs this year. If Luka goes to Dallas and is like, and Dallas is strapped. They don't have draft picks. They don't have a lot of cap space. Let's say Luka's like, I'm not happy here. You guys can't put me on a winner. And Oklahoma City comes to the table with an offer of Josh Giddey, okay, Dort, as well as maybe like a couple other young players, maybe like a Trey Mann, and then to make salaries work, you throw in a Davis Bertans, and you throw in 7 first-round picks. Is that enough?
No. Nope.
Why not?
Because if I'm Dallas, any deal that includes Luka leaving Dallas has to have Chet Holmgren coming back to them.
I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to do that either. That's why. See, Mark Cuban can be like, no, keep your 7 draft picks. Give me 4 and Holmgren, and a couple other players.
Yeah.
We're good.
Tough one.
So
very. Tough.
And Cuban still is controlling basketball operations, even though he sold the Mavs. So. Like, he still has a say in how these things get negotiated and done.
It's true. Good point. Oh, man.
I think Luka should make a move to go to New York. And New York should unload some of their depth and one of their stars, maybe 2, or like a mid-level star, whatever, you know, and some picks and stuff, you know, and that would be, then Luka gets what he wants. He gets to play on the biggest stage in Madison Square Garden. He gets to be the next Carmelo Anthony for the Knicks, more or less.
What about Philadelphia? Philadelphia includes Tyrese Maxey.
It still doesn't push the needle, man. You need an all-star
you're
going to replace.
Embiid and Luka Doncic, Maxey's going to be an all-star this year.
Yes, he will. He will. If I were to, again, compare, I would still put Holmgren at a higher grade than Maxey.
Okay.
So, like, if he goes to Denver for whatever reason, Denver doesn't have the depth to really give up, you know. Denver might have picks, but Denver doesn't have – they're not going to give Jamal Murray. They're not going to give – he's coming to play with Joker, so Joker can't be part of the deal. At the most, you give Aaron Gordon a couple picks and some depth, but Michael Porter,
well, no.
Yeah, Michael Porter, he's not a star. Michael Porter's not a
Michael
star, but yeah.
Porter, yeah. I mean,
MPJ and Aaron Gordon and some picks would do it.
Yeah, yeah, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon, maybe a young player like Christian Braun, and then the picks. But Denver doesn't have picks. That's the problem. They don't have the treasure trove of picks. You see, Oklahoma City has all those picks, and they can offer young talent back to – maybe they would do it. Maybe they would say, okay, for Luka, you can have Chet Holmgren. Because I'm still going to – but then you have a logjam of Luka, Shai, and Giddey, and you're not going to play all three of them at the same time. That's why I think Giddey is not the scorer that Luka is. But he brings a lot of other things to the table. And I think Dallas getting Giddey back along with some of those other players that I mentioned, plus the six or seven draft picks, all of a sudden you got a pretty good shot at rebuilding your team on the fly.
So let me ask you this. Wouldn't you want Luka to have a quality backup? Like, why couldn't Giddey come off the bench at six men, you know, and man the second unit?
Would he want to?
I mean, if you're trying to run for a championship, maybe. Depends on how his case works out, too.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right, guys. That is all the time we have. Josh, I'm glad you're able to make it on. Sam, as always, great catching up on some NBA basketball. We got to get our ticket in for tomorrow night's game, the Steelers and the fucking Patriots. Let's bet all unders. But
yeah. Hey, I have one more question for you before we end real quick. What do you think about this in-season tournament that NBA is having?
I actually liked it. I actually thought that the teams kind of competed to try to win it. And the other thing I like, Sam, is that they changed, like, all the awards and recognition to the fact that you got to play in 65 games to be eligible, and you don't see guys just frivolously sitting out as much.
Very true. So, I don't like the funky court designs, though, to be frank.
Yeah, I didn't really like funky court designs, but, I thought it was good. I thought that teams actually played to try to win that tournament, so...
They're trying to go into a Europe soccer type of format with these in-season tournaments.
Oh, shit. If you win the NBA Cup, that in-season tournament, each player gets $500,000.
Yep, they get paid.
On the winning team. Damn. They basically stole the idea from
European soccer, you know.
Yeah.
So European soccer has all these mid-season tournaments that give incentive for worse teams or teams that are not so good with the star power to play well and maybe push it, you know, for money, right?
Yeah. All right, guys. We will see you next Wednesday. Good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor for the Ravens and the Steelers. So let's see what happens, guys, and we'll be back with you all next Wednesday.
We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch where it takes us. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we...